Let us read at the beginning of John 3, please. John 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, our reading tonight will include various night and darkness scenes in this same gospel. And there is the first one, a ruler who came to Jesus by night. Chapter 6, please. John chapter 6 and verse 16. John 6, verse 16, And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. Now notice this next statement. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. John didn't write anything without deep intent. And John is impressing on us this great truth, that if they don't have Jesus, it's now dark, because he has not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Now, chapter 9, please. John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, the day is soon to come, from John chapter 9, that the Lord Jesus will no longer be in the world. He is going to ascend to his Father. But as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Chapter 13. We will just read verse 30, but I think you know the story that goes with this, the story of Judas Iscariot and his intention to betray the Lord Jesus. He was warned by the Lord Jesus about what he was doing. He was handed the sop by the Lord Jesus that he might be impressed in the Lord regarding the Lord Jesus' love and interest in him. But then we read in verse 30, He then, having received the sop, the Lord had given him that token of honor at the dinner where they ate together, went out immediately, and it was night. And chapter 21, please. Just a brief reading from this chapter. We'll start at verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, some of his fellow disciples, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And while we have been reminded tonight that the Gospel of John is a gospel that presents great truths simply, there is something about John's gospel that is also impressive in this way, that the simple truth that John deals with, he deals with in a most profound way.
He begins this gospel by not only telling us that the Lord Jesus is the source of life, as we have been reminded, but he said, that life is the light of man. He presents the Lord Jesus as the true light coming into the world. So that John links two things together, light and life, and they are all found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that when John deals with all the subjects he deals with, he is relating them to those tremendous concepts. I would say that John is the philosopher of the New Testament. He deals with concepts of tremendous depth, and he relates them to truths in the gospel. Life is a simple truth, and yet a very profound truth. Light is a simple truth, and yet a very profound truth. So that John is presenting the Lord Jesus as light. And those who are living without the Lord Jesus are living in darkness. And when he conveys to us these stories about night scenes, he is teaching us truth that contains solemn warnings for those who live without Christ. I want to look first of all at the story we read in chapter 21 and speak a little bit about universal darkness. It is the darkness that is in the experience of every man or woman that is occupied with things they may very much enjoy, but they are occupied with those things apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the disciples were. They had heard his call, and now they have gone on in their own way. They are going along self-directed. They are going fishing. Now here are men that knew how to fish, and they have fished many times and days before. But here is a night time when they are fishing. They are fishing without the Savior. And the sad story always worked out in the lives of those that are doing their very best without him. I want to say tonight without any fear of missing the mark, that no matter what you're doing without Christ, you're catching up. No matter how much you are enjoying the things that you're engaged in, and no matter how much in times past, somehow or other, they've had some meaning to you, let me remind you tonight, and I say again without any fear of being contradicted, let me remind you, you are living a life that is empty, and all you have gotten for all your endeavors is just an empty net. My, what a remarkable thing this is. I can see John looking at Peter and saying to him, man, you should get all kinds of fishes over this spot. Well, let's try another spot. Sure, there's got to be something. And off they go to try a new fishing ground. And it's empty. There are those that are in the meeting tonight, and you've been trying a lot of fishing spots. And you're saying to yourself, surely, I think I can remember times in the past when I used to find something that satisfied me here. Surely I'll find it eventually. And you're groping along in the darkness and you have nothing. If you haven't touched Christ, you have got absolutely nothing. Whosoever drinketh of these waters, the Lord Jesus said, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the waters that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Dear soul tonight, if you don't have Christ, you don't have anything to satisfy your soul. If you don't have Christ, you're in the darkness, groping and longing and looking, and empty. I have heard the story told. I don't know why it's a story that's told where I live in that area, but I haven't heard it told firsthand, but I heard it secondhand. Story about a boy that we many times preached to and prayed for and hoped to see saved, and he weathered right through all the meetings. Nothing seemed to move him. And one time his brother-in-law, Mr. Eugene Higgins, was having gospel meetings in the area home, and this boy, Don, was attending those meetings, because he had to with his brother-in-law, how could he get out of that? You know, one day, now he was getting up toward the 20-year-old mark, one day he was riding along on his bicycle, going somewhere, and this very simple thought dawned on him.
All the preaching of judgment had never moved him. He was just interested in the here and now, the present life. He was going to enjoy what he could. And as he was driving along on his bicycle, he thought to himself, I'll use his word. He said, what a ninny I am. The only people that I know that are happy are the people that have God's salvation, and I'm doing it all. It wasn't very many days before that boy had God's salvation.
Why live second class when you can have God's salvation? I think I'm speaking to some in the meeting tonight, and as you have looked down the long road of life, as I did, in my teen years before God saved me, I never envisioned growing old without salvation. I knew there was nothing worth living for without God's salvation. If you want to have life that's real life like we've been hearing about tonight, I knew that the life that was real was the life that those had who were saved. I never thought of getting old. I never thought of growing up with a family without having God's salvation. But I do not understand the mad folly of people that are willing to live second class now, but they know that they're the first class life, and they're always forever expecting they're going to live that way someday. Listen, dear soul, tonight, if you're living without Christ, you're in the dark, and your nets are empty. I never heard my grandfather preach the gospel, although he did through his lifetime. But I heard the story of my grandfather when he was but a boy living over in Australia. It touches me every time I sing the chorus and think about it. As a boy, he had learned this chorus, no one is so happy as the child of God, traveling home to glory along the narrow road, singing, sweetly singing, because he's lost his heavy load. No one is so happy as the child of God. And that boy away over in Australia who had heard the gospel used to sit on the back step of his mother's, of the porch behind his mother's home, and he would sit and sing that chorus over and cry. He knew it was true that no one is so happy as the child of God, traveling home to glory along the narrow road, singing, sweetly singing, because he's lost his heavy load. No one is so happy as the child of God. And the problem is he knew he didn't have it. These men fished all night, but it was all empty. And in the morning, the Lord Jesus asked him a question. Have you got any meat? Children, have you got any meat? If you're ever going to know the joy of God's salvation, you just have to be as honest as they were. You know what they said? We hope there are some in the meeting tonight that are just willing to be honest. If I were to ask you to just draw the line under your life right now and take a big total of all that life has been to you right till tonight, not what you're expecting tomorrow or hoping next week, tonight. Children, have you any meat for the dancing? Have you found anything in this world that's worth leaving your soul for? Let me ask you more than that. Have you found anything in this world that's worth living for? Good God, there was someone in the meeting tonight that would just be plain honest in the presence of God. Nothing. Oh, that there would be some willing to confess their need. Then let me tell you, the answer lies very simply in what these men do. They responded to the word of the Lord Jesus. He says, cast your net on the other side of the ship. It's simply a matter of responding to the word of the Lord Jesus. Oh, how simple is God's salvation. You could leave the meeting tonight. Talk about fortune made. You could leave the meeting tonight with your fortune made. Oh, my heart aches for you. I would love for you to get God's salvation tonight. You would never forget in life this night in February 1986 when you came to know the Lord Jesus. And for all eternity, you would look back to this gospel meeting and you would thank God. Oh, God, I'm so thankful I got salvation. I've never met a person that got God's salvation. And the story they did.
What a mean old deceiver is the devil that keeps people going on with nothing. When they could simply respond to the Word of God and have everlasting life.
I want you to think of that man in John chapter 3. Here's a man that had an empty religion. He's a man that reminds me of the truth of spiritual darkness. It's not by mistake that John says he came to Jesus by night. Now, whatever his reason was for coming at night, it was nighttime when he met the Lord Jesus. Because even though Nicodemus was a respectable man, it was nighttime. He was living without the Savior. Even though Nicodemus was a religious man, he was still in the dark. Even though Nicodemus was responsive to the Lord Jesus, he was one of the people in Jerusalem that believed in him as a miracle worker, yet that man was still possessed with an empty religion. His heart was empty, and the Lord Jesus says to him, first thing, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see. He's in the dark. He cannot see the kingdom of God. They shall not see light. You see, until a man or woman is born again, they are in the dark. That's why when they read that, people that are never born again, they read the Bible and they say, I don't bother reading the Bible because I can't understand anything in it. Now, I wouldn't tell you tonight that I understand everything in the Bible, but when I look into the Word of God, there is something about the Lord Jesus that fills my heart. You see, I came to know him when I was a boy of 16, April the 16th, 1961. And the moment I came to know him, the moment I trusted him for salvation, at that moment I came out of darkness into light. At that moment my heart was won to a man I have never seen. And the chief longing of my life is to see the man that died for me. I met him in April of 1961. And I'm looking for a moment when I'm going to see him face to face. Ever had a moment like that? Man is naturally in the dark. That's John's message. Man is unable to appreciate spiritual truth. Man does not realize his spiritual darkness and need. Man is used to the dark. Dear soul, tonight our interest is that when you listen to the gospel, there might begin to be dawning upon you rays of light of divine truth. If the light shines into your heart this evening, the first thing it will do, as it did with Nicodemus, is it will expose you just where you are. I would like to so preach the gospel with what we have been already hearing tonight, that some in our meeting this evening might be shocked.
Find out that you are preaching to them. There are some in the meeting tonight and you think that they're preaching this to everybody else if you've never been born again.
There's never been a time in your life that you were saved. And you're sitting in the meeting tonight thinking, why these boys preach different than what I used to. And that's for sure I like what they're saying, but I'm sure I'm glad that I'm okay. They don't mean me. And you keep on assuring yourself of that. May I assure you tonight, we mean you. You've never been born again. Never a time in your life when you were exposed in the light, still living in the nighttime. Never a time in your life when you realize you need to be born again. Never a time in your life when you realize, if I came to die as I am, I would never be in heaven. Nobody is ever going to be in heaven who did not discover they were on the way to hell. The woman we met one time visiting door to door, my beloved partner at that time, Paul Kember, was visiting with her. He took me to see her, and she told him she was born again. So we asked her a very simple question, when she was born again. Yes, she wasn't just quite sure when she was born again. But he asked, well, now listen, let's try another question. Did you ever discover you were going to hell? And she said, well, never tried that. Well, then why did you need to be saved? Until a man or woman is exposed by the light of God's Word, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Until there's been a time when they've been exposed by the light of God's Word, there is absolutely no possibility that come out of the darkness into the light of God's salvation. You want to be as plain as you can. You must be born again. Light that exposes also enlightens.
And when men and women come out of the darkness as Nicodemus did, and they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the will of God that they be enlightened about salvation. I am convinced when I meet Nicodemus in heaven, he's going to tell me he was saved in John chapter 3. I kind of think he might have been saved around verse 16.
He got light about the work of the Lord Jesus. That's how a man or woman is saved. When it dawns upon them that when the Lord Jesus was lifted up at Calvary, he was lifted up for me. He was lifted up to bring life and peace and joy and forgiveness to me.
That's salvation. And if there's never been a time like that, it's in heaven. But there is the solemn reality of an empty house that we have in John chapter 9. The Lord Jesus says, I'm leaving this world, and when I leave the nation of Israel behind, they're going to go into a night time. And the nation of Israel has been in a night time down through nearly 2,000 years because they rejected the Lord Jesus. There's a night coming, the Lord Jesus says, for all those that refuse light, there will be darkness that will come on them judicially. You know what that means? Those who have had the message of the gospel presented to them, and whether they choose to reject it or neglect it, they are in danger of God sending darkness upon them. And I'll tell you one very solemn illustration of that is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. In the moment when the Lord Jesus comes to those that are saved, there is going to be left behind the people that knew the truth of God's salvation. Some in the gospel meeting tonight. If the Lord Jesus came tonight and we believe he could, you would be left behind and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 would be fulfilled in your life. God shall send them strong delusion. That they might believe a lie. Instead of the light of gospel privilege that you're living in now, God would turn out the light. And there are some in the meeting tonight that would be left in a certain darkness of gloom with absolutely no possibility of ever having God's salvation. Oh, what a tremendously solemn subject. To go from the light of privilege, to go from within sight of the door of salvation, and light is streaming from heaven toward you tonight, your soul, and the Spirit of God is inviting you to come. It's darkness to pass. It's a darkness. It's the night. I want you to think of what is the case toward you. It is eternal darkness. The man went out. And the way John puts it is so telling. He just says, and it was not. He turned his back on the light. And there was nothing for Jesus but man. And that night into which Jesus went was just the beginning of a long night of endless darkness for Jesus. A man who was living with believers, he went out, and it was night. A man that was loved by the Lord Jesus. The last act of the Lord Jesus to Judas was to confirm to Judas his loving interest in him. It was the last act from the Lord Jesus for some soul in a meeting tonight that is willing to go out into the darkness. Let me tell you that the Lord Jesus wants to confirm to you once more that he loves you and longs to have you. He so loved sinners that he went to Calvary to die. And your soul tonight If it is the last sight we ever give you of the Savior, let us tell you that he died at Calvary for greater sinners. And there's provision enough in his death for you where you're sitting in a meeting tonight. And you need not go out without it. You can claim the value of his precious blood, and you can trust him as your Savior tonight. He loves you and longs to bring you into eternal blessing. But Jesus was left to his darkness and made his own care. Away from life, away from blessing, away from salvation, Jesus is going out. And it's night time. Some years ago, I had the privilege of visiting a Christian woman in the hospital, a dear woman very well known to us. And she was in the hospital just a few blocks from where we live. She was so weak and so distracted with pain that when her daughter came in, she lived with her daughter. Her daughter lived with her. She couldn't tell her daughter from her granddaughter. They were both dark hair. It wasn't her eyesight. It was just her pain and distraction with the pain. And she said to her granddaughter, Mary, which is her daughter, she said to her granddaughter, Mary, I'll soon be going home to heaven, and I'll meet you another soon. I'm going to tell you, it's a great thing to have peace when it comes to that time. She was going out, but it was all daylight. It was very uncomfortable for her many nights. Not only was she having her own pain, but she couldn't sleep, because just down the hallway in that same hospital, there was a woman that kept the whole hallway awake. When the night time came on, she used to lift her kind of cry all through the night. And echoing down the corridors of that hospital were these words, Oh God, where are you? Oh God, if ever I needed you, I need you now. Oh God, where are you? She was getting up. It was night. I want to ask you tonight, dear soul, if you go out not simply through the doors into the darkness tonight, but if you go out without Christ, are you willing to risk the possibility that you may go out tonight into eternal life? Or will you willingly receive the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Traveling without him, toiling and longing, the disciples are on a raging sea. The moment they gladly received or willingly received the Lord Jesus, at that moment, blessing came to them. God granted might come to you tonight. He's available to you. His work is enough to include you. God grant tonight you may take God's word. Trust the Savior. Go out tonight, glory and change. Safe for eternity. It is either the glory of heaven and present day, or it is an empty night time now, and an eternal night now. But that's a shame. Be quick. Be true faith. Father, when we think of the awful storm cloud of the wrath of God and its fury that will overtake souls who die without the Savior, and the fact that there are in our gathering tonight a large number of those who do not know the Savior, younger and older, we pray that thou will awaken souls from the meeting. Grant, O God, we do humbly pray that from this meeting tonight there will be sinners saved for eternity, fleeing for refuge to Christ. We thank thee there is sufficient value in the work of Christ to include everyone in the meeting tonight who is willing to come. Grant thy preserving care on us as we separate. Bless thy word wherever it has been preached. And Father, we do pray that thy living word may be re-preached in the hearts of each one in the meeting tonight unsaved until they come to this most momentous of all decisions, until they come to this greatest of all blessings. They turn to Christ, to trust Him for their everlasting salvation. We commit Thy will to Thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord, where the call of His Spirit is lost, and you hurry along with the pleasure mat thrown. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Thank you.